Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
You're in the book of Jude tonight, and if you've not found it yet, I would just quit turning pages. Jude tonight, if you've not found it yet, go to the last book of the Bible and back up one. It's right before you get to the book of Revelation, and we'll continue our study tonight in the book of Jude and see what the Lord has for us. Let's stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's Word. Jude, of course, chapter number one is the only chapter that there is, just one chapter here with 25 verses, we'll read verse number one tonight and continue our study. The Bible said this, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Now, look with me in the middle part of verse number 3. I'm not going to read the whole verse, but he said this, and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. And we began a study last Sunday night on earnestly contending for the faith here out of the book of Jude. And we'll continue tonight. Father, I love you. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings. Thank you for being good to us. I pray, God, that you'd help us as we preach tonight. Help us to rightly divide the word of truth. And we'll give you the glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can be seated tonight. Again, I want to look at this thought and continue our study here in the book of Jude on earnestly contending for the faith. Now, if you wasn't here last Sunday night, you need to go back and either listen to the podcast or watch the live feed as we laid the groundwork and the introduction to the book of Jude and what all the book of Jude is dealing with. Of course, we know that Jude is the 65th book of the Bible, just right before the last book, the 66th book, which is the book of Revelations. Jude is laying the groundwork up to what it's going to be like when the Lord comes back to call His children home. He deals with several different things. Matter of fact, he uses seven different Old Testament examples that we looked at last Sunday night of the different things and the way that it'll be when the Lord comes back. Of course, we know that he is dealing with the apostates of that day, and I'll just say this in passing. Again, I'm not going to deal with everything I did last Sunday night. We are living in a day and in an age of a lot of apostasy in our day. There's a lot that's got a form of godliness denying the power therein, amen. They say that they're one thing, but, well, Jesus said it this way, ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, you speak well of me with your mouth, but your heart is far from me. And that's the way that a lot of people is today. They have a form of godliness, but it's like the Bible teaches right here in Jude, they've crept in unaware. In other words, they're creepy crawlers in the church. Or, as I said last Sunday night, there's a bunch of creeps that's in the churches today. You said, preacher, what do you mean by that? They've crept in and they think that they have everybody fooled, but they really are not what we are. Matter of fact, there's a great book that's written on wolves in sheep's clothing and identifying the wolves in our church today. And it's amazing, the first time I ever read that book, how true that book is. And after you read that book, every church you go into, you find yourself going, huh, that one right there is howling real loud, even though they don't know that they are. There is people in our churches today that are not what we are, and Jude is dealing with that. Now, as we continue thinking about earnestly contending for the faith, we're going to start tonight and just go verse by verse and study the book of Jude out. Number one tonight, we're going to look in verse number one, and the Bible starts out this way, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ. So number one tonight, I see the servant that is here in the Scripture, the servant that is here. Jude calls himself a servant here in verse number 1. Now, I think it's very important to understand that this is not just any servant that he is referring to. As a matter of fact, when you study it out, you'll find that this is a bond slave that he is referring to himself as. Now, I also find it very interesting that when you study Jude's genealogy out, you know who his half-brother was? The Lord Jesus Christ. Jude's half-brother is Jesus Christ himself. But nowhere do we find Jude saying, Jude, the half-brother of the Lord Jesus Christ. No, he says, Jude, the servant, the bond slave of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's just really be honest within ourselves tonight. If we would have been the half-brother of Jesus and we was writing this, Brother Josh, we would have probably thrown that in there. Are you with me? Yeah, I'm a servant, but I'm also the half-brother of Jesus Christ. It shows us the humility of Jude right here. Jude does not mention one thing about being the half-brother of the Lord Jesus Christ. He just simply says, hey, look, I'm a bond slave of Jesus Christ. You see, it didn't matter who his quote-unquote family was or his genealogy was. What mattered was what he was interested in doing for the Lord Jesus Christ. Whenever you study this bond slave out, you'll find this out. And whenever you study a servant in general out, a servant is one that is totally surrendered to someone else. He's totally surrendered to someone else. I've said this many times here before, but let me say it again. We want to say we're a servant of Jesus Christ, but are we totally surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ? A servant is one that comes underneath the control of another. In other words, he's not controlling his own life. He's under the control of someone else. And can I say something to you tonight? If we're saved by the grace of God and we're living our life in accordance to the Word of God, the way that we should, hear me and hear me well, we are not in control of our life. It's not my life. It's his life tonight. And we allow him to control our life. Amen. If we do what we, can I just be real honest? I guarantee you, if you was to bring Brother Hernandez and his wife up here and set them down and say, hey, look, you know what? In your flesh, we could offer you so much more here in America. You know what? In their flesh, they would probably want to accept that. We've been looking for somebody to work with the youth, and you know what? If I was to call them in tonight and say, hey, here's a package that we can offer you. You come to America. Amazing Grace and go on staff with us at Amazing Grace. In the flesh, he may look more at that. But you know what he is tonight? He's not worried about the flesh. He is a bond slave. He is a servant. And he's saying, my life is controlled by someone else. Hear me and hear me well tonight. If we ever earnestly contend for the faith the way that we should, we will come underneath the control of someone else. It'll not be us controlling our life. It'll be Christ controlling our life. Notice again, he's not just saying that he's a servant. He's saying that he's a bond slave. When you study that bond slave out in Exodus 21, a bond slave is not hired. A bond slave is purchased. Bond slave can be purchased for one of four reasons. Let me give it to you real quickly. Poverty, he had no home and lived as a street person. Payment, he owed a debt that he could not pay. So the man bought him. Prison, he was captured in a time of war. Or a penalty, he stole and could not pay back the restitution. So the master could come in and purchase him and make him a bond slave. Does that not sound like you and I tonight? The poverty, the payment, the prison, the penalty, that's where all of us was at tonight. Oh, but aren't you thankful the master came in and paid a debt that we did not owe. Oh, and we could not pay it, but he said, I'll purchase you. And because of that, we're now his bond slave. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in our body and in your spirit, which are God's. You know what he's saying right there? He's saying this: I bought you with a price. It wasn't just any price. It was the price of me giving my life, and not just dying, but it was the death of the cross. It was the crucifixion. It was the scourging. It was the beating of a cat of nine tails. It was being spit upon. It was having his garments stripped from him. It was having God turn his back on him. And he said, I was willing to do that to purchase you off of the slave block of sin. So we're not just a servant tonight. We are the bond slave of the Lord Jesus Christ. Number one, I see the servant, but number two, watch this tonight quickly. I see the Savior. Note what he says, Jude, the servant. But know what he says after that, of Jesus Christ. He's saying this to us tonight, I'm not just any servant. I don't have just any master. Oh, yes, good neighbor. He's saying it's not just anybody that I am a bond slave to. I've not been bought by just any master. I'm not giving my life for just any master. I'm not writing about just any master. No, he says this, I'm a servant of Jesus Christ. Hear me and hear me well tonight. We're not just serving anybody. Is anybody hearing the preacher tonight? Jesus is not just some figment of my imagination. He's not just some fairy tale that's wrote about in 66 books. Amen tonight. He's real. He's living inside of me. He left the portals of glory and came to earth and lived 33 and a half years. He suffered. He bled. He died. He resurrected one third in glorious morning and defeated death, hell, and the grave. He stuck around 40 days and then ascended back into the heavens. And thank God one day he's coming back. But until he does, he left the Holy Spirit to indwell within us. Jesus and God is not just some character in a book tonight. It's somebody that's real and living inside of me. I'm not just giving my life for no reason. I'm not just preaching for no reason. I'm not just singing for no reason. I am a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. He said, before I go any further in this, I'm going to take a minute and I'm going to exalt the name of Christ. Amen. Oh, yes. Let me tell you the reason I'm in church tonight. Because of him. Because of him. Let me tell you the reason there's a lot not here tonight. It's because they're not living for him. Amen. I said it this morning, we make time for what's important. And to a lot of people, something besides God and church was more important tonight. Amen goes right there. You can say amen, you can say oh me. If you're listening by way of live stream, you should have been sitting here. I'm telling you tonight, he said, I'm a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. I do what I do because of him. I don't do it because of you. I don't do it because of a paycheck. I don't do it because that's what my daddy done. I do it because July the 20th, 1994, I realized I was lost and on the road to hell. And the good God of glory came to where I was at and saved my hell-deserving soul. I'm a servant because of him tonight. That's why we do what we do. It's for no other reason. If you do it because of men, you won't stay with it. If I pastored just to appease men, I would not stay with it. Me and Brother Tim was talking this morning about church hurt.
I guarantee you there ain't nobody sitting in the church house tonight, Brother Ramsey, I believe you'll give me an amen right here, because you've pastored, that's been hurt any more than the pastor's been hurt. You pour your life into people. You leave your family events to go take care of their family, and then they get mad and run their mouth all over the community about you. They don't bother to say that you come at 2 o'clock in the morning to pray with their family. Hello, Tokyo. They don't bother to post all those things about you sitting in a hospital with them. No, all they want to do is focus on something bad. If I was doing this because of you, I'd quit tonight. I'd sell out tonight. I'd move back to Yakin County and get a job making a whole lot more money. But that's not the reason I do it. Jude said, I'm a servant. I'm a bond slave. I've been bought with a price that you can't pay. And that's the reason we do what we do. I see the servant, I see the Savior, and I've got 5 paragraphs underneath the Savior that I'm going to skip. But you need to study the way that he says it right there. He said, I'm a servant of Jesus Christ. You'll find in other places in the New Testament, Brother Josh, it says Christ Jesus. The agnostics of that day was denying the humanity and the deity of Jesus. Jesus, that's his humanity. Christ, that's his deity. And if I had time, I'd preach about an hour on all of that. Yes, he was humanity. Whoa, but he was deity also. The Savior tonight, the servant tonight. Number 3 tonight, note this, the sanctified. Well, all the shouting's probably about to end. The sanctified, Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ, and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father. To them that are sanctified. The word sanctified means made holy, consecrated, set apart, watch this, for sacred service. We have been set apart for service. John 17:17 says this, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Sanctification takes place in 3 parts. I was sanctified when I was saved. I'm being sanctified as I study the Word of God and grow in Him. And one day I will be fully sanctified when I'm presented before God faultless through the blood of Jesus. Salvation is not progressive. Salvation is instantaneous. Say, so what do you mean? The very moment I said, God, forgive me my sins, come into my heart and save me, he done it. That very moment, I was S-A-V-E-D. I was saved. I was born again. That very moment. But sanctification is progressive. In other words, as you grow closer to God, you should become more separated from this world. In other words, you should be closer to Him and further from the world today than you was the day you got saved. When an individual gets saved, we can't expect them all of a sudden to be just like somebody that's been saved for 40 years. Are you with me? Sanctification. Sanctification shows an unsaved world that there's something different in our life. We can live a holy and a set-apart life in a wicked world, watch this, through God the Father. What did he say? He said that they are sanctified by God the Father. He is who gives us the ability to live a sanctified life. Well, preacher, I'm trying to do better, but I just ain't doing much count at it. Well, you said the problem right in the very beginning. I can't do better within myself. I cannot do better within myself. The past few weeks, Miss Leslie and I have talked to a lot of people. Even today, we talked to a lot of people. We talked to a lot of people the past few weeks. And I told one the other day, I said, you're never going to change your life trying to do it yourself. We can't do it within ourselves. It takes God helping us. And we must come to that place where we are a bond slave or a bond servant, that we relinquish our rights totally over to someone else and allow them to control our life. Oh, I'm going to let Jesus control my life. But you let somebody get your order wrong after service tonight, and let's see how much Jesus is controlling your life. Amen. You let somebody look at you cross-eyed, let's see how much Jesus is controlling you. And matter of fact, when you get done telling them off, won't you just look towards heaven and say, hey, God, was you pleased with that? Was you happy with that? Hey, did I represent you right? You know, sometimes my kids do something, I'm like, hey, that's my kids. And they sometimes, Brother Scotty, my kids do something, I'm like, I don't know, that's a mama's. They sometimes we do things and God goes, yeah, that's my youngins. And they sometimes we do things and God goes, whew. Sanctified. He's saying to us that we are to live a sanctified life. And the way that we do that is through God the Father. He helps us. Watch this. Number four, the security. Again, verse number one, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ. Preserved means he is saved from injury, destruction, or decay. Kept or defended from evil. Even though we are living in dark days of apostasy, we are kept by the Lord Jesus Christ right here. He's saying our security is through him. Can I tell you something? If I had to keep my salvation, I'd be lost before I got home tonight. I'd be lost before I got home tonight. I don't have that far to go. I'd probably, Brother Ramsey, be lost before I got out of church tonight. Are you with me? I'm tired. I'm give out from the day. And you know what? When you're tired and you give out, things bother you quicker than they do at other times. Matter of fact, I have a rule now. Unless it's something that's just major important, I don't talk to nobody on Sunday nights after church. And very rarely will I talk to anybody on Sunday, period, anymore. As far as meeting and sitting down and talking about something. You can tell you the reason why? Because my mind is blown. You say, well, I don't understand. You preach twice on Sunday. You stand here and look at some of y'all two times on Sunday. You ain't even got to preach. Just stand here for 20 minutes and look at you sometimes. Are you with me? Brother Ramsey said amen. He knows where I'm coming from. Brother Stan, you ever been teaching? You thought, well, they ain't a soul listening to me. Brother Josh, you ever been teaching and thought, well, I don't know where they're at today. They sure ain't in church. The reason that I don't is because of this. My mind needs to be on preaching on Sundays. There's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. If it's that important, you'll make time. We'll go back to the message this morning. You'll make time another day. Well, no, preacher, you need to work to my schedule. I will all of them, but Sundays. Are you with me? We are not kept ourselves. We cannot keep ourselves safe. We're going to sin on a daily basis. However, I do believe we can live a life of less sin a lot of times. That willfully sinning, that's a whole other message. We're secured, we're kept, we're preserved, we're saved from injury by the blood of Jesus Christ. Tell you what saved me tonight? The blood of Jesus. Let me tell you what's keeping me saved? The blood of Jesus. Let me tell you what's going to present me faultless before God one day? The blood of Jesus. It all goes back to that. Number five, and I'm done. We see the servant, the Savior, the sanctified, the security. But then we see the summons. We see the summons. Look again in verse number one. He said, preserved in Jesus Christ. And watch this. And called. I just love line upon line, precept upon precept preaching. There's no, to me, that's the best preaching that there is. It's hard to get out of context when you're preaching it that way. I see the summons right here. He said, and called. In other words, God didn't save us just to sit on a chair. God didn't save us just to sit around at the church. God didn't save us just to come to church three times a week. God saved us to do something for Him. Only one life, you've heard me say it many times, only one life will soon be passed. All that's done for Christ is all that'll last. It's not, I preached on that judgment at the closing of the message this morning. It's not going to matter anything else. What's going to matter that day when I stand in the presence of a holy God? It's going to matter what I've done for Him. That's it, the summons, the call that He gives to us. I want to say three things here. It's a call to service for Christ. The word used means to summons a person to office, to duty, and to responsibility. Paul also refers to us as ambassadors in 2 Corinthians 5:20. It's a call to share Christ with a dying world. We're hypocrites. Did you hear what I just said? We're hypocrites to support 50 missionaries a month and send hundreds of thousands of dollars a year across the sea to the mission field and not reach our own community. It's a call to service for Christ tonight. It's a call to serve Him. So, preacher, what can I do for Him? That's up to you to figure out. But there's something you can do. Amen. There's something you can do. I'll give you an illustration. Some won't agree with me on it, but that's all right. I'm the one doing the preaching tonight. I love Brother Doug and Miss Helen sitting back there. Miss Helen, because of her health, Miss Helen ain't going to come over here and run a vacuum cleaner. She's not going to get down on her hands and knees and scrub the floor. She's not going to scrub the window. She can't physically. She can't. But you know what she does? She prays for her preacher. Anytime that I've got a need, all I've got to do is let her know, and I know she's going to ring the prayer bells of heaven. Whenever I was sick, I went through a quart. Wasn't it a quart? A pint. I went through 2 pints of her apple butter in a week and a half. And in the past 4 or 5 days, I've got half of another one already gone. And you know what I done? I said, I want some of your apple butter. You can go to the store and buy it, but you can't buy that. Are you here? I said, I want some more of that. And you know what happened? Here just the other night, she said, preacher, I got you some more apple butter. And you know what I done? I went home and I done gluten-free, because if I don't do gluten-free, I wouldn't have been asleep that night. I got me some gluten-free. You know what I'm going to do the night after church? I'm going to go home. I'm going to scramble some eggs, praise God, that come off their farm. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get me some bacon out. And I'm going to fry that bacon. And you know what else I'm going to do? I'm going to get me some of that toast and some of that apple butter. Praise God. Probably some French fries on the side somewhere there. Somebody said, praise God for taters. I can eat taters 3 times a day, 4 times a day, 5. Breakfast, lunch, brunch, dinner, supper, midnight snack. I can eat taters. You know what she's doing? She's doing a service by helping take care of her preacher. She's serving where she can serve. My mama, she said, when I was sick, she said, I want you to know something. I said, what's that? She said, Ganny's praying for you. I said, oh, I don't doubt that a bit. She said, now she ain't called y'all, but she calls me. She wants to know how her preacher is. You know what? Miss Ganny's not going to get up and walk down the road. She can't. But you know what she can do? God help my preacher. He's laying over there in the hospital and he needs you. He needs a touch from you. God, help my preacher. She's serving the Lord. We all have a place to serve. It's a summons. It's a call to service for Christ. But it's a call, watch this. It's a call to satisfaction with Christ. There is a world today that is seeking joy everywhere else. They're seeking happiness everywhere else. Let me tell you something. The call, the summons, there is a summons to satisfaction in the Lord Jesus Christ that you'll not find nowhere else. I promise you no drug will bring that to you. No alcohol will bring that to you. No fornication will bring that to you. No adultery will bring that to you. No pornography will bring that to you. No internet will bring that to you. No gambling will bring that to you. Oh, but you'll find a joy unspeakable and full of glory when you realize that you need Him and you allow Him to purchase you off of the slave block of sin and you allow Him to become your Savior and sanctify you and secure you. He'll call you to happiness that you'll never find nowhere else. There's a satisfaction with Him. There's a satisfaction with Him that you'll find nowhere else. It's a call to service for Christ. Come start playing softly. It's a call to satisfaction with Christ. But it's a call to scrutiny by Christ. This conveys the idea of someone being summoned to a judgment. When the Lord returns, yes, it's going to be great. But at the same time, it's going to be very serious and it's going to be very overwhelming when we stand in His presence. You say, well, preacher, we're going to get to heaven, praise God, and we're going to shout. And the Bible says there'll be no tears there. You need to read in the Bible where He wipes the tears away. It's after the great white throne and after the judgment seat of Christ. It's after every bit of that. I can tell you the reason why. There's going to be some tears shed in heaven. There's going to be some tears shed in heaven. Let me tell you something. We stand at that great white throne judgment as a saved. We'll be there to witness it. We'll not be judged then, but we'll be there to witness that great white throne judgment, and our family and our friends and those that we've worked with and that we never told about God, and they stand in the presence of an angry God. Matter of fact, Spurgeon said this, said hell will be a relief compared to standing in the presence of an angry God. They stand in the presence of an angry God. And He says, I never knew you. And they're bound hand and foot and cast off into hell. And we watch them as they scream out in agony and they're cast off into hell. I promise you, there'll be tears. But it's after that that those tears are wiped away. And yes, after that, it's going to be great. And yes, the marriage supper of the Lamb that Miss Helen's making apple butter for. And praise God, Miss Helen, I'll be able to eat some biscuits at it. Some cat head biscuits, praise God. I mean big ones, amen, with country ham in them. Amen. It's about worth just suffering the consequences and being sick 2 days to go home and get one. Are you? That's going to be wonderful. It's going to be wonderful. But there is a time that we're going to be called before God. And church, we're going to stand before Him. We're going to give an account for times that we could have served Him and we sit. We're going to give an account for times that we could have sung, but we didn't. We're going to give an account for that. We're going to get, you know what? I believe Brother Matt loves the Lord. I believe he does. Now, I might be plumb off in left field. He might be the biggest heathen in Surrey County. But if I believed that, I can promise you he wouldn't be standing on this platform. Are you with me? I don't have any say-so over who walks in and out of our church. But as a pastor, I do have a say-so who stands on this platform and who sits on this platform with me. If I believed any one of these musicians didn't have a relationship with God, they would not be in the place that they're in. If I believe somebody standing in the choir was living a life of sin, living like the devil, they would be asked to not sing in the choir. You say, preacher, would you... Let me give you some numbers. It's no longer here. Amen. I believe Brother Matt loves the Lord, or I'm telling you, he wouldn't be the first voice of every service Sunday morning and Sunday night. It's not my voice you hear first, it's his. He's the one that opens the service and sets the tone for it. I believe he loves the Lord. And you know what? I believe that if he asks you to sing, it's because the Lord's put you on his heart. We might just stand before God one day because we chose not to heed the summons of a call that God put on us. Whew. To preach, it's hard preaching. No, that's just holy preaching. We all have something we can do for him. There is a scrutiny by Christ. We're going to stand before him one day. God's not called me to Guatemala. I watched that video, and you know, sometimes, which God knows my heart, if God told me to go to Guatemala, we'd start raising support tomorrow. We'd team up with him, we'd go. If he called me to go to Mexico, we'd go. But God's not called me to do that. I watched that video, and man, I was just beautiful. You see those kids, you see those people being saved, you see those churches growing. Man, makes you want to go. Makes you want to go. I don't know about that marshmallow, though. I'm just afraid that thing has some kind of chemical in it. I mean, that was just all kinds of bad things run through my mind when I seen that. No. Volcano marshmallow eating? No. I mean, if I'm going to take a chance, I'm going to take one of them sausages with Colby Jack cheese inside it. Y'all know what I'm talking about, them link sausages. If I'm going to take a chance, it's going to be on something besides a marshmallow project. It's going to be on something good. We've talked, Guatemala's a very hot topic in our house right now. Madeline with Medical Missions Outreach is looking at doing a trip to Guatemala in the summer of next year. Because of her finishing her nursing degree, and that's what she wants to do, is to go over there on a medical missions trip with them. I'm not called to go there, but you know what I am called to do for Guatemala? Give to help keep somebody there. Now, I'm not going to stand for God for going, not going to Guatemala, but I will stand before God, Brother Ramsey, if I don't give to help keep somebody in Guatemala. Because he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And then he devised a plan to fulfill the command that he gave us, and that's giving to world missions. Jude, well, he's a bond slave. He was a servant. He had a Savior. And it was because of that Savior he done what he did. Boy, he goes into verse number 2, and it's great. He begins to talk about mercy. Why? Because of the Savior. But we'll not preach verse number 2 tonight. Let's stand with our heads.